Chapter 40.
The countless discontents throughout my empire saw what I did to those who rebelled, and so they didn't dare do so openly. Instead, they acted with more subtlety. Riatan Layuza had grown in great influence over the years preceding the Daybreak Massacre, but after that, something changed. So many things in my empire stopped running smoothly, with breaks in supply lines, production problems, and attacks on government buildings and barracks, all being run by a group of underground rebels. I later learned that all these efforts were organized by this one man, Riatan, who had become wholly consumed by his opposition to me. Despite the bounty I put on his head and the men I sent to hunt him out, I never found him. Instead, most of my men came back dead.
They decided to catch a sky coach, which let Dalen's powers recover somewhat from the excessive use. Once the coach landed, Dalen looked out his window at Brick Hollow. The tenement community was a collection of tall, thin buildings squeezed together that bordered a single short lane in a U-shape. The street was littered with small bits of rubbish, scraps, and debris, with dirty children playing in the lane, and the elderly sitting on old chairs out front. Clotheslines were strung over the central lane from building to building, with linens hanging in the still air.
"From the look of it, I almost understand why the Dawnists won revolution," Lyra said.
"There were far more slums like this during the Dawn Empire," Dalen replied. "Enough to fuel a nation's rebellion."
"Just because there's less poor now doesn't mean that there should be any poor at all."
"Yeah," Dalen said with a sigh. "You'll need to wait here."
"I know."
"See you soon," Dalen said, and exited the coach. The smell in this part of the city was offensive, and Dalen wondered when the last time was the council had sent some slaves here to clean the streets. He enhanced his perception and quickly noticed many distrustful eyes on him, as well as three dirty young men skulking in the shadows of an alleyway, looking as if they were ready to rob him. He released his bond and was met by a soft headache in return.
"Yep, my head really doesn't seem to like me bonding light to it," he channeled to heal himself, which, once again, didn't push the pain away completely.
Dalen walked into the tenement block and was pleased to see that he wasn't followed. Making his way through the piles of rubbish, he came upon a very aged man sitting on a damaged chair in front of one of the buildings. The image stopped Dalen in his tracks, for looking upon the old man, Dalen could only see himself. They must have been close in age. An oddity, for few people lived so long, what with the Fourth Night, Dalen's rule, and the bloody Second Revolution. A person was very lucky to survive all of that, or unlucky, depending on how you looked at it. Dalen approached the man, who stared at him uninterestedly.
"Excuse me," Dalen said, "but could I have a moment of your time?"
The man's eyes twitched, and he seemed to register Dalen for the first time.
"What? Who are you?"
he said in a slurred voice, most of his teeth missing.
"I'm no one," Dalen said. "I was just wondering, did you live through the Fourth Night?"
The man's focus switched, gazing into his own memory.
"The Fourth Night. Terrible it was. I fought them, you know. The monsters, I fought them."
"Then you're a hero."
"No. It was those that went into the underworld. They're the heroes."
"Even Daedalus the Conqueror?"
"He was Dalen the Morin back then, before he became the Great Bastard. A good man once."
It was hard for Dalen to control his emotion at hearing this. The mere fact that this man had lived through so many terrible things made his life worth honoring. Yet here he was, cast off, sitting amongst trash. It was heartbreaking. This man had certainly lived a better life than Dalen. Yet who would be remembered?
Please tell me your name.
Parpin.
It's good to meet you, Parpin, Dalen said, kneeling down and handing the man 2 crowns.
What's this for?
Parpin said in amazement.
For living a good life.
Parpin huffed.
I don't have much to show for it, and I don't have much life left either.
Such a long life is a burden few people bear. Have you lived in light?
I tried.
Judging by the man's inner light, he had more than tried. Light, he must have been a saint. Then I can't see why the light wouldn't welcome you into its rest.
I guess I'll find out soon enough.
I'm glad to have met you, Parpin. I hope you find peace. And Dalen left the old man on his chair, wishing he had time to befriend him properly. It was easy for Dalen to find the 32nd unit of flats. Those 3 thugs had skulked out of their alleyway and were now hiding around the corner that led into the main central lane of the block. Dalen entered the flat, climbed the stairs to the 14th apartment, and knocked on the door. A tall, bulky man answered, and his eyes widened as soon as he saw Dalen. Amazingly, this man must have been in his 30s, meaning he would have been 10 years old or so when Dalen had been deposed. How could anyone who lived during the Dawn Empire want to bring it back? Just going off statistics, everyone from that time would have had at least had 1 relative or friend executed, if not more. Dalen stacked his bonds to his voice before speaking carefully and with control. "I'm the son of Daelus the Conqueror. Let me in." The man was silent for a second before stepping aside. Dalen entered to see 3 other tall men of varying muscle and girth standing near the door, each armed with a rapier. 2 of the muscled men looked young, but the last looked older than 20, meaning he too must have lived during Dalen's rule. Are these people mad? The apartment's walls and roof all had wet rot, the carpet stained and dirty. In the adjoining room, several weathered chairs had been arranged in rows. They were being addressed by a woman who had pale blue hair with deeper blue streaks throughout, in a short cut. The woman paused when Dalen entered, staring at him with a pair of sharp and truly stunning eyes. She was wearing a button-up white shirt and black slacks with a rapier at her curved hip. She was gorgeous and must have been in her late 20s or early 30s, though still a pup to Dalen's older eyes.
"You'll have to excuse me," the woman said to the seated group.
"Jenna," a seated man said, "we'll need to leave soon."
"I know," she said in a soft, almost timid voice, "but this might be important."
A head shorter than Dalen, she was slight and curvaceous. She approached him with a look of awe.
"It's true. You look exactly like him."
"Are you in charge?" Jenna's demeanor changed, and she smiled, looking suddenly confident.
"That depends," she said playfully.
"On what?"
"What you want. Last I heard, you weren't exactly sympathetic to our cause."
Dalen stacked all his bonds to his scent and wasn't prepared for how hard the putrid smells of this place would hit him. It nearly caused him to lose his composure, but he quickly focused his scent to smell for emotion and targeted the sense to the young woman. This Jenna was radiating a smell of, well, the only way Dalen could describe it was sex. His mind processed that smell into an understanding. She was attracted to him, powerfully attracted to him, if this smell was anything to go off. There was also a prickly smell that Dalen instinctively knew as caution. Dalen switched his bonds back to his voice. "I want to know why you revere my father."
"Simple," Jenna said. "He was a great man. Do you know that he was a bona fide war hero before he even became emperor?"
"Trust me, you don't know more about Daelus the Conqueror than me." Jenna shook her head, smirking.
"No. You grew up in an orphanage and only lived with the Conqueror for a few years before he died. I've spent my whole life studying your father. I understand who he really was."
Daylan gritted his teeth. This idiot girl knew nothing. What would she say if she knew that the real Daylas the Conqueror was actually standing right before her? "Didn't you read the letter he left? It's been reprinted in the papers. Daylas hated himself for all that he had done."
"If he really did write that letter, which I'm not convinced is true, he must have lost his way and forgot the vision he had for a unified and just world."
Daylan pushed down his growing rage and did his best to not choke on his own words. This girl was attracted to him, after all, so he would certainly catch more flies with honey, as the saying went. "You might be right," Daylan said, looking Jenna in the eyes. "Father was very reluctant to speak of his past. He was a different man toward the end, and I want to know who he was. I think you're the one who can teach me on this, as well as many other things." Jenna smiled, her sharp eyes twinkling.
"Then you've come to the right place."
She nodded to the muscle surrounding them. They relaxed.
"You can call me Jenna. Come."
That was easy, Daylan thought. I'll have to remember to enhance my voice more often. Jenna led Daylan to a study with several portraits of himself hanging on the walls.
"We've saved as many of these as we can," Jenna said. "The Senate opted to keep a few for history's sake, but only ones that vilify the great man. None truly capture his strength, though your appearance has served to show the younger generation what the Conqueror truly looked like."
She looked at a portrait and spoke softly.
"He was probably the most handsome man who ever lived, not the scowling villain the Senate wishes to instill on our minds."
Jenna turned back to Daylan.
"And you look exactly like him."
She suddenly became shy and brushed her hair behind her ear. She walked to sit behind her desk.
"What would you like to know?"
she asked, waving a hand to the seat on the other side of the desk. Daylan sat and asked, "You're old enough to have lived during the Conqueror's rule, seen what it was like. How could you have any positive feelings toward a man that oppressed you?" Jenna leaned forward, resting her chin on her laced fingers.
"Just the thing every woman wants to hear, how old they are."
Daylan choked back a snort. "Oh, trust me, girl, you're practically a baby on the larger scale." Her mouth pressed together at that. Probably not the best response to a woman trying to flirt with him. "My question?"
"It's a matter of perspective," Jenna said, leaning back. "They say the Conqueror starved his people, but the truth is that no one died of famine. He made sure everyone had enough, reserving the larger portion for his armies and storehouses, all to protect his people from invasion and the next night."
"I doubt you would be saying that if he had executed anyone close to you."
"My parents," she replied flatly.
"What?" Daylan asked, shocked.
"My parents were executed by the Conqueror."
Daylan's mouth fell open and he couldn't think of anything to say.
"I was heartbroken, of course," Jenna continued. "I was just a child, after all. But once I grew up, I wanted to know why they had been executed. In fact, that was the reason I started to search out the truth about your father. It turned out my parents were part of the rebellion and had tried to sabotage one of the Empire's battleships."
Her mouth turned down in displeasure.
"If they had succeeded, the entire crew of the ship would have been killed. Innocent soldiers, only doing their part to protect their nation and families. It was a hard thing to realize that my parents were murderers, and the truth is that they deserved to be executed," she finished tightly.
Daylan was lost for words. He had never expected to find a family member of one of his victims to be happy with what he had done. Looking at Jenna, this soft-spoken and slight-statured girl, Dalen now saw a cold hardness behind those discerning eyes. Jenna smiled at him.
You see, the real question isn't how we Dawnists can love your father, but why everyone else hates him so much.
She started to speak matter-of-factly.
Dalus the Conqueror sought to make all men equal. His wars were fought to protect his people, his laws were fair and his punishments just. Do you know it was really the guilds that promoted and funded the majority of the resistance against him? Think about that. They were hoarding most of the wealth in the nation from the majority of its citizens, and when the Conqueror sought to regulate their practices and redistribute their stolen wealth to those who rightly deserved it, they betrayed him for their own ends.
Her words grew in passion as she continued, a stark contrast to her natural soft voice.
Just look at how much the revolution has benefited the guilds and craftsmen. They've expanded their operations, making the wretched factories that we must work in like slaves. The Conqueror never would have allowed this. He would have protected his people. That should be his name. The Great Protector, not the Great Bastard. The guildmasters have now formed their own great houses, where the true rulers of this nation come from. They're all corrupt, she hissed. Light, they've essentially resurrected the old oppressive aristocracy.
Dalen could see her point with that one, regarding the division of the rich and poor, but it neglected the glaring differences between the aristocracy, the Dawn Empire, and the modern day. These falls, anyone could become rich and own land.
Is there a single senator that's come from the factories or the tenements? She continued. No. The rich ensure that the rich are elected. Who will serve their interests? And the rest of us, the majority of the nation, suffer in poverty.
Dalen had to suppress a snort. The rich ensured that the rich are elected? Was she actually paying attention to her words? The poor constituted the larger vote. The reason why the rich were in power was because the poor were electing them. Granted, there were more complex reasons behind this, like access to education, but it all ignored the fact that getting someone elected from the factories or tenements didn't ensure they would represent the poor any more than assuming someone who was rich wouldn't. She was making moral judgments upon people based on their social status rather than their individual actions. The same thing Dalen had done when he overthrew the aristocracy and executed them. Listening to Jenna, her intelligence, her conviction, her passion, it was clear that she was more than a pretty face. True anger resonated in her voice, and it simply took enhancing his scent to confirm that her conviction was real. On top of that, there was actually a measure of light within her. She honestly believed what she was saying was the right thing, whilst at the very same time excusing mass murder. Oh, what foul and corrupt things humans could be! With such conviction, it would be easy for others to fall for this woman's lies and half-truths. It infuriated Dalen, for no one knew better than he how evil the Dawn Empire had been. In fact, it infuriated him so much that before he even realized it, he had hissed the words out through clenched teeth.
I am Dalus the Conqueror.
Jenna looked at him as if he had lost his mind.
I am Dalus the Conqueror,
Dalen said, with every bond channeling light to his voice.
I never fathered a child while in hiding. Instead, I found a way to make myself young again.
Dalen stood, and Jenna's expression showed that she was now taking him far more seriously.
And let me tell you, Jenna, you're nothing but a deranged zealot. I despise everything you stand for. I didn't lose my way while in hiding. It was there that I finally found myself again. I rediscovered the man who fought through the fourth night, the hero you say you love. And that man would have been horrified at everything I did as emperor. He would have fought with all his power to destroy him.
Dalen glared at the woman, who was now staring back at him in shock.
The problems in the current government don't validate the Dawn Empire. Redistributing wealth is just another name for state-sanctioned theft. I stole everything from everybody. Land, money, and resources. And then gave back just enough for the people to survive. hoarding the rest for my military and indulgence. I murdered anyone who opposed me, took away the people's right to speak, the very freedom you flaunt on countless soapboxes through the city. I would have slaughtered any group who spoke against me to the level you speak against the current government. So as bad as you say things are, they're a damn sight better than the Dawn Empire and aristocracy. You want a better life for the poor? Good! But bringing back the failed and oppressive ideologies of the past is the most foolish thing you can do. The Dawn Empire is not the answer. You would be just as poor as you are now, but even more oppressed and miserable.
The Conqueror would never say this.
I am the Conqueror, he seethed. I need to be remembered as the tyrant I was.
You were a hero.
I was a despot.
No,
Jenna screamed, rising to her feet.
You freed us from the aristocracy.
And I also slaughtered their children. Nothing excuses that.
Jenna's eyes grew colder with each word.
You did what you had to do to ensure the safety of the Empire. It was a just sacrifice.
Dalen stared at her.
You really believe that, don't you?
I would have done the same.
A clearer comprehension dawned in Dalen's mind of who this Jenna really was and what she was capable of.
What are you planning?
You think I'd tell you?
I need to try a different approach, Dalen thought.
Like I really need to know, Dalen said condescendingly as he turned away. You're a bunch of pathetic peasants. A mob of angry children pose a greater threat.
You won't be thinking that in a fall.
Dalen smiled. Belittling her had worked. Jenna had just revealed that their plan was already in motion. Dalen suspected that Jenna would never slip like this regularly, but he had the benefit of a supernaturally enhanced voice. Dalen pretended to look worried as he spun toward the woman.
What do you mean?
Let's just say that this city will never be the same again.
You don't have the numbers.
We don't need numbers to punish our oppressors, she spat. And who knows? Once the government is gone, there just might be room for the Dawn Empire to step in and bring order.
Jenna suddenly looked confused, as if surprised by what she had said.
Something's wrong. My head. It's fuzzy.
She was feeling the effect of Dalen's voice. Dalen switched his bonds to strength and threw the desk aside like it was paper. He grabbed Jenna by the shirt, enhancing his voice again.
How are you going to destroy the government?
It's too late.
How?
Jenna seemed to struggle with herself, her eyes wide and fixed as she fought against the pull of Dalen's power. The thugs from outside burst in.
I'll tell you nothing, she said, snarling. You're not the Conqueror. You're nothing, she spat at Dalen. Long live the true Conqueror! Long live the Dawn Empire!
Dalen screamed, switching his bonds to strength, and Jenna's head exploded from one empowered punch. Her lifeless body slumped to the floor, blood pooling everywhere as Dalen dealt with the thugs. The Dawnists in the adjoining rooms either attacked him or ran. The four that attacked didn't last a second. Enhancing his speed and reflexes, Dalen ducked their sword strikes and lunged forward into the middle of the group and sliced them in half with Imperius's enhanced edge in one broad, full-circle slash. Dalen paused among the dead bodies for a brief moment, feeling sick at how easy it was for him to kill so many. But he quickly came to his senses and raced out of the building and across the street. Lyra was standing next to the coach and obviously noticed his blood-soaked hand.
What under the light?
The Dawnists are planning to destroy the Senate within a fall's time.
Then we just have to move the senators to a safe place.
No, he said, shaking his head. They're planning something bigger, something that will change the city forever.
What? How?
I don't know. They wouldn't have kept any plans here. It's too public. But I have the scent of their leader.
Yes, good. They must have a secret meeting place.
We'll take the coach. It's faster.
Lyra ran to the driver's cabin, threw open the door, and said,
Out!
The driver stumbled out of the cabin as fast as he could. Lyra climbed in, and Dalen joined, saying,
I'm driving.
Dalen pulled open the underside of the control levers and quickly ripped out several safety regulators.
What are you doing?
We're going to need speed. For all you know, you just crippled the ship. If I did, this should be impossible, Dalen said, pulling the ship's throttle and lift levers. The coach strained in protest as it launched into the air faster than it had ever been intended. Dalen worked the levers with absolute focus, weaving the coach through the streets, buildings, smaller islands, and other skyships.
You could have ripped the core from the coach. I know how far I can push these things. Where did you learn to fly like this? Lyra asked. Let's just say I have a fondness for skyships and leave it at that.
With a level 4 bond to the scent, Dalen could do more than track Jenna's movements. He could sniff out her entire path for the past several falls, knowing each point she stopped. With Dalen's profound familiarity with the city, he had built most of it after all, he could easily tell which location for the true headquarters of the Donists was most likely. An old abandoned factory in a rundown and unused part of the industrial sector.
What could they hope to achieve by destroying the Senate? Lyra asked as the skyship flew at speed. Doing so would never resurrect the Dawn Empire. They don't have the support.
It's more revenge than a proper revolution, Dalen said. The Dawnists want to destroy their oppressors.
So I'm guessing that their leader is dead?
Yeah, Dalen said flatly.
What did he do?
She, he corrected.
Their leader was a woman?
Yep.
And you killed her?
Without a second thought.
Why?
Maybe the fact that she's planning to destroy the government?
I know, but we could have questioned her.
That zealot wouldn't have revealed anything. She was too dangerous to be left alive.
Okay, I'll trust you.
Dalen looked to Lyra, incredulous.
What?
She asked.
You trust me? Just focus on flying.
Dalen smiled and did so, eventually guiding the coach into a slide landing right in front of the old factory. Jumping out of the coach, Dalen and Lyra quickly found that this factory wasn't nearly as abandoned as it appeared. Several armed men and women ran out and attacked them. Dalen drew his new sword and swung it in his left hand, summoning Imperius to duel, wield, and take out these idiots as fast as possible. He literally cut them into pieces. Lyra was right next to him, and her strength was incredible, grabbing each person that charged her, man or woman, and throwing them into walls or one another like they were rattan balls.
How can she become so strong with only 3 bonds? Dalen wondered once again.
Seconds later, every Dawnist that had attacked them was dead.
You would be really good at rattan, Dalen said. It's my favorite sport.
They ran into the building, Dalen enhancing his speed and noting that he was much, much faster than Lyra. She was fast, of course, supernaturally so, but nothing close to the level 3 bond Dalen had made, keeping his last bond on scent, which was enough to track things close by. Dalen continued to follow Jenna's trail, which led him through the factory rooms to the basement and a brick wall. Jenna's path led through it, which meant the wall must be movable. Dalen didn't have time to look about for whatever mechanism moved the thing, so he enhanced his mass and strength, stepping back for a charge. But then Lyra came running past and crashed through the wall as if it were paper. Dalen followed, entering a large vaulted brick room with a primary central table and several desks facing the walls. No one was in this room, but there were many papers scattered on the tables, the most interesting of which lay on the center table. Lyra and Dalen ran to it and leafed through the papers. There were hundreds of notations, equations, designs, and schematics.
I don't understand any of this, Lyra said.
They're designs to repurpose the Sunstone drives of skyships, Dalen said.
You understand all this math?
I know a thing or two about engineering, Dalen said as he flipped through a large design pad before stopping at a detailed drawing of a large chunk of rock. From the shrubbery at its top, it was clearly a floating island.
Oh, light, Dalen said with dread.
What?
Those bastards!
What is it?
That's why Blackheart was selling skyships to the Dawnists. They've been illegally buying ships and repurposing their drives to fit them to the core of this island, Dalen said, pointing. Is that even possible with an island that big? With enough directed and intense light, any hunk of dark stone will move. But I thought there were limits. Only under the square of its mass. If the core of this island is small enough, and they have sufficient drives, they can do it. It's how smaller sky islands are moved over the city. Dig through the rock, fix the drives, and if you're committed enough, you can turn a larger floating island into a moving mountain. Dalen took a deep breath, staring at Lyra. They're going to ram a 500-meter-wide hunk of rock into High Dawn.